Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
The name of the Lord in the life of the Christian, the church, and fulfilled in Jesus. The Issues Etc. book of the month for January is Blessed Be His Name, Revealing the Sacred Names of God. It's written by regular guest Dr. Kevin Golden. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House and request Blessed Be His Name, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. book of the month for January, Blessed Be His Name. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We've come to that time of the day when it's time to reach into the email bag and listen to the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382, and that email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. What's first, Jeff?
Well, let's begin with some criticism of me. David writes, I had to do a double take on the 1821 listener email podcast where the young lad called in about leaven and unleavened bread. Very astute, by the way. Since you and Todd do such a great job, a mulligan has been granted for your comment about the Great Schism, 26 years too late, but maybe better late than never. Ha. Thanks for correcting us, David, and for listening.
It was said that it was in 1080, but it was in 1054.
Correct. So there's something about 1080 that's in my brain. And I Googled it. We did an interview with the sainted Dr. Ron Feuerhahn that I recall. This is in the old, probably 15 years ago, when we were under the auspices of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And it had to do with like Roman Catholic teaching since 1080 AD. And it was about papal authority and new Roman Catholic teachings.
Oh, I remember that, yeah.
But 1080, so what do I do? So I can't find anything. Well, Will Wheaton, host of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, did mention that around that time, Gregory the Seventh's Bull Liber Tas Ecclesia, that argued the church was free and not answerable to the emperor, set the stage for the church vying for temporal authority through the Middle Ages. And then he has a list of Gregory's claim for papacy. So I don't know if that is why I had 1080, but you are correct. The Great Schism was in 1054.
Didn't the caller mention 1080? Or did you attach that number?
I think it was all on me.
Okay.
I wish I could blame it on the, 10-year-old kid, but...
Well, it didn't seem right to me, but I couldn't think of the actual right date, so rather than try and correct it, I was just like, whatever. Close enough.
You need to listen closely to what I say,
Todd. That's why I say stuff like, the Great Schism in the 11th century. This kind of covers everything.
Right.
I know it could be anywhere from 1001 to 1099. It doesn't make any difference.
The older you get, time is much more difficult to recall when things occurred.
All things are more difficult to recall.
Jason writes, can we please drop that idiot congressman from the open theme? It sets my hair on fire each time I hear it, and I don't have enough time to spare. That's the one with the amen and the a woman prayer.
But we just did a new open theme today, so he's gone. But why do we do that, Jeff? Why do we put those kind of... the hair-raising, and in the case of that listener, even hair-igniting quotes into many of our open themes when they occur. They always have to have a religious angle of some kind. But why do we put those in there? What's the radio reason for doing it?
To upset listeners like Jason. No, I'm kidding. No, it's if you're a new listener or you're secularist or what have you, you've never listened to the show before. We stole this from Laura Ingraham,
absolutely,
her old radio show. She's
totally
had all these cuts in there. And hers usually ended, power to the people.
Yeah.
So, once again, we never have had an original thought or idea.
We also stole Soundbite of the Week from her, too.
Yes, and her bump music, Fridays.
Yeah.
That was hers.
Yeah. We sold sound by the week. She actually did sound bites. She would do actual radio actualities, and a sound bite probably should be much less than 30 seconds. And ours have grown to an average of 90 seconds.
Right, right. So it's just trying to hook the listener. Like, what is it that I'm about to listen to here? That's compelling. I've heard that before. And so that's why we do it. It's to hook you, not to upset you. John writes, this is in regards to your latest interview with Joy Pullman of the Federalist. I'm writing to express my intense dismay after listening to the conversation with Joy Pullman. The conversation was meant to focus on social engineering, but moved frequently in the unfortunate direction of defending protesters in Washington, D.C. last week. I feel it is necessary to voice my frustration with her ridiculous equivocating of the Trump protests, which ended with an armed, hours-long breach of the U.S. Capitol, evacuation of Congress, and the gross vandalization of congressional offices with this summer's Black Lives Matter protests, which ended with none of these things. What was the purpose of the protests last summer? To bring to attention actual documented incidents of police brutality. What was the purpose of the protests last week? To bring attention to unsubstantiated, politically motivated allegations of voter fraud. The posture of any Trump-supporting Christian after last week's national disgrace should be one of sincere repentance and self-reflection. Issues, etc., is at its best when it proclaims law and gospel and focuses on Holy Scripture. I am often frustrated with the political op-ed content. Too often the program feels out of its depth. In times of stability, this is not such a problem, but we are rapidly moving toward a period where complicity with powerful bad actors will create ethical dilemmas we might never have imagined. Are we ready to choose between pro-life and democracy itself? Because that choice may very well come if we stay the current course. Christendom is at its best when it speaks truth to the power of Satan and the things of this world, not when it rallies to an egomaniac in hopes that some of his influence will rub off on us. Thanks for the feedback, and thanks for listening, John.
Okay, first of all, I don't think that Joy Pullman put any kind of equivalency between the siege on the nation's capital and the Black Lives Matter riots that not only happened in the summer, but, well, to my knowledge, continue on a regular basis in at least some cities in the United States. I don't think she was trying to draw an equivalency between those two. We're in a no-win situation here on this, because if we even put those two events in the same sentence, some listeners are going to say you're drawing an equivalency between those two. And I happen to agree with the listener that they are not equivalent. Are they both violent? Yes. Are they both political acts? Yes. But that's where the comparison ends, because both of them were destructive. They were vandalous. Both of them are inexcusable and illegal. But the events that took place and still take place, even as bad as they are, involve the destruction of private property and the terrorizing of citizens in Portland and in all the other cities where those things are happening. There's a different caliber of, I'm not just going to go tear down someone's store or burn down someone's building, as bad as that is, with the grander goal of entering the United States Capitol for the purpose of, well, maybe just vandalism, maybe just goofing off. Some of those people are just goofing off. But some of them were seriously willing to do some harm to our elected officials. Those are two different events. Are they both bad? Yes. Are they both inexcusable and should be illegal? Absolutely. But they're two different kinds of events. I know how tempting it is to make them the same thing, but they're not. I know how tempting it is to say for someone to burn down a gas station is the same thing as someone walking into the nation's capital looking for a congressman to kill. But they're not the same.
Now, you might be overstating. We don't have proof that people were intending to kill. Do you have any evidence?
No,
to
I
back
don't.
That up?
I don't.
So I wouldn't. You can't do that. Now, but let me stop you before you go on this. I had an interesting conversation. The person will remain nameless. Very interesting take on this. An elitist attitude cares more about the destruction of public property than private property. An elitist attitude cares more about the destruction of public property than private property. That got me thinking.
I think that depends, because an awful lot of public property was vandalized during the summer riots. And there was an entire class of elitists in Washington, D.C. who didn't bat an eye, or at least not publicly. A lot of statues were pulled down that were public property. And there were people among the elites that were cheering that on. Now, their motivations may have been political for cheering that on, but as a general rule, perhaps yes. I think it may have a lot to do with the fact that these protests came to them. And that accounts. And look, would I be upset if they came to me too? Absolutely. My point on this is we're in a no-win situation. If we even use the two things in the same sentence, someone will say you're drawing an equivalence between the two. And if we fail to mention that there were riots in other parts of the country while we're talking about the riot that came to the nation's capital, entering the nation's capital, then other listeners will say, why didn't you mention those others? Jeff, you've been talking a lot in our conversations off the air about deflection. That is not a Christian virtue. Okay?
Two wrongs don't make a right.
Two wrongs don't make a right.
Tell my kids that all the time.
When you deal with the young children, it's their natural, it's Adam blaming Eve. It is their natural response, and not a good response, but a natural response to being accused of something when you know you're rightly accused and dead to rights, to deflect to someone else. And so we do this vicarious deflection when people that we support are accused of something. Then we say, well, but what about this other person? Didn't they do that too? Yes, they did, but that doesn't make it right. That is not a Christian virtue. That is not a Christian impulse. Christians should avoid deflection at all costs. Do we want a level playing field, and do we want everyone to see the equal wrongness of that event and this event, of Washington and Portland? Do we want them to see that? Yes, we do. But in our frustration, we should resist the temptation to say, well, they did that, but that's okay because the other person did it too. That's no way to deal with wrongdoing in our society. I mean, think if we operated our courts by saying, all right, you've been accused of a crime, but we'll let you off if you can find somebody else who did something worse. Or somebody else who did the same thing and didn't get punished. That's not how it works. Our sense of fairness has been deeply, deeply wounded. And it's going to be more deeply wounded for the next 4 years, probably. Christians have got to begin to learn that we're not going to be treated fairly in this world, either for our political or for our religious viewpoints. We've got to learn and get used to it. Is it frustrating? Yes. Can it enrage you? Yes. But Jesus has told us, he's promised us, that this is our lot in life. If we have faith in him and trust in him, and if we love the truth, this world is going to be very unfair. We're not going to be treated the way we think we ought to be treated or fairly treated. And we cannot contribute to it by deflecting either from ourselves or from someone that we support. We simply cannot do it. That makes things worse. It doesn't make anything better.
Pastor David Peterson, I've learned many great truths from him, frequent guest in the show. But do you remember when we had lots of Lutheran pastors considering leaving Lutheranism for Eastern Orthodoxy?
Oh, yeah.
And what he said was profound. He said, these guys are putting the worst construction on Lutheranism and the best construction on Orthodoxy. That is profound. I see that, and I do this in my own life, and I repent of it. So somebody I agree with, I don't apply the same standards to them as somebody I disagree with. So I'm more apt to explain things in the kindest way to somebody who agrees with me than I am to somebody who disagrees with me.
We cannot compare, let's just use the parties. We cannot compare the Republicans at their best with the Democrats at their worst, or vice versa. Do we all do it? Yes. But that is, again, not a Christian impulse. That is not an embrace of truth, but an embrace of what makes me feel better about this situation. When we, like in the case of Lutheran and Orthodoxy, when these pastors looked at Lutheranism, they saw nothing but the faults. And when they looked at Orthodoxy, they saw nothing but the great things. They compared the ideal, that was what Peterson said, they're comparing the reality of Lutheranism with the ideal of Orthodoxy. And, well, some of them left Lutheranism, entered Orthodoxy, and got to see the reality of Orthodoxy.
So let's put this in context of the riots. So what did people after the Capitol say? Well, that's a small handful of people, lunatic fringe. Most of the people are peaceful protesters. Were they applying the same thing when it came to the Antifa BLM protests this summer?
Were they doing?
Were they saying that? Oh, that's just because the people on that side were saying that's a lot of these people are saying we don't advocate that, but that's a small percentage. That most of the people are there to protest, not to riot, which I think is true on both fronts.
So we don't compare the ideal of one with the reality of the other. Compare realities, okay, rather than the ideal of one with the reality of the other. We're going through listener email, probably making some of our listeners a little bit upset. On this Thursday, January the 14th, that email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. There are a couple things that I wanted to get to in that last email that we didn't get to, and we'll do that after this. What are the particular comforts of Lutheran theology and practice? Find out in my column in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Peter Slayton writes about growing up in a Christianity that was more about him and what he was doing, and finding in the Lutheran Confession a Christianity that focused on Jesus. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Are you looking to use your Thrivent funds to beautify your church? Never fear. Ad Crucem has the solution. See our liturgical banners, baptismal or confirmation certificates, gifts, Christ-focused greeting cards, and posters. Alternatively, stock up on a set of Christmons or Christmas ornaments. Visit adcrucem.com. That's adcrucem.com.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Bethlehem Lutheran, North Zulch, Texas. Faith Lutheran, Rogue River, Oregon. Grace Lutheran, Warminster, Pennsylvania. Emmanuel Lutheran, Pensacola, Florida. Mount Olive Lutheran, Duluth, Minnesota. Pilgrim Lutheran, Kilgore, Texas. Shepherd of the Hills Lutheran, Rathdrum, Idaho. St. Matthew Lutheran, Hawthorne Woods, Illinois. The Good Shepherd Lutheran, Inglewood, California. And Zion Lutheran, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.
If I ever write this letter, pages I could write.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382. Now, the email before the break, we kind of got off on a tangent there a little bit, but the email before the break also mentioned something near the end that said something to the effect that Issues Etc. is best when it sticks to law and gospel. And the listener didn't really like what they said, the political op-ed part of Issues Etc. We're not trying to... I don't have any stomach really for op-ed when it comes to issues that some listeners will consider political. We were doing that interview with Joy Pullman on the social credit system. That was the subject of it, a social credit system that is already kind of working its way informally through businesses and social media and things like that. And that was the focus of the conversation. Now, is there a thus saith the Lord on the social credit system? No, but there is, if you listen to the end of the interview, there is some really sound biblical wisdom that brings us back to where we ought to be if we have to live with a social credit system. I think we might have even chosen it as one of the candidates for Soundbite of the Week tomorrow. Joy Pullman's, what do you do? How do Christians deal with a social credit system? We're not going to prevent it from happening. But how do you deal with it? And her advice was really good. Instead of communicating with people you don't know via social media and allowing yourself to scroll your way into complete frustration, and then you fear that someone's going to take your access to social media away, wean yourself off of this and talk to people face to face and spend time with the neighbors around you, your family. You know, you won't resent if your Twitter account is canceled because you don't have a sufficient social credit score. If you've already established your real relationships with your family, you're not going to lose any sleep over that. You might be frustrated. Just good, sound Christian wisdom that comes out of that, and trying to equip Christians to live in a world that, as I said before the break, is going to be hostile to your viewpoints one way or the other. You're going to encounter it at work, or you're going to encounter it from the government or in your kids' schools. Again, you're not going to be able to prevent that. So how do you live with it in a way that is Christian? That's why I said what I said before the break. We cannot adopt the ways of the world out of frustration with the world's intolerance toward us. Christians live in this world, and as Jesus says, but we're not of this world. Our thoughts must be different. Our ways of responding must be different. Our goals must be different. Our hope must be different. And that's easy to forget in tumultuous times where we think the world's falling down around our ears.
Deaconess Lynn Fredrickson sent me a text message, and according to the Denver Post, a Colorado resident who threatened to kill House Speaker Nancy Pelosi last week and drove to Washington, D.C., intending to take part in the riot at the U.S. Capitol, was armed with an assault rifle, handgun, and 2,500 rounds of ammunition when he made the threat, according to federal documents filed Wednesday. So
2,500 rounds? Craig, so, you should pick some of that up.
There's a piece of evidence for you that somebody did intend to actually do physical harm.
So,
you know, you talk about the world's way, the utilitarian end justifies the means, not biblical, right?
Yeah, end justifies the means is just the flip side of that guy did it, that means I can get away with it too. It's the same thing as deflection.
Nancy writes, please tell me the Bible passages you referred to last Thursday regarding emperors and kings and Biden becoming president. Thank you.
You're going to have to refresh my memory.
You said Romans 13 not require...
Romans 13 does not require free and fair elections. St. Paul wrote that, those words about submitting to governing authority, and there were no free and fair elections as to who would be governor or ruler or emperor. Those decisions were taken by a Senate way off in Rome that may have been far more corrupt than anything we have today. And people, men and women, have bribed and slept and assassinated their way into positions of leadership, and Paul still says there are no governing authorities that are not set in place by God. does not require free and fair elections. And that means that we, even when it pains us to do so, and sometimes for many Christians in the world, both now and in the past, it means the pain of death in order to do something like this. We don't have the luxury of saying, well, I don't like the way it happened. I don't like how that person got into office. So they don't have to be my president or my governor or whatever it may be. You will not hear Paul saying that Felix is not his proconsul. We don't know how Felix got to be proconsul. Paul goes and he submits to his authority.
Hi, this is Mark calling from Fenton, Missouri. First, I want to thank you for the outstanding program with Dr. Deishan on pre-incarnate Christ in the Old Testament. And now I have what might be a show topic. I know in the New Testament there are several places where Jesus says that he does not act on his own authority, but only that of the Father's, and that he is motivated, initiates his ministry, not on his own initiative, but on that of the Father. And I just thought that would be a good episode, a good show topic to address. Thank you so much for all you do. Happy Christmas to everyone at Issues, Etc.
Thank you very much for your comment. I think it's a great show suggestion that Jesus' relationship, what his mission is, as from the Father. We'll have to sit down and figure out who would be the best guest to talk about that particular thing. That's a lot of that is in John's gospel, so maybe it will be one of our John guests that we have on. Thank you for the show suggestion. We'll take them anytime, 618-223-8382. If you appreciate Issues, Etc., our 24/7 music and talk stations, and our daily verse-by-verse Bible study, The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, please include a bequest in your will or trust for these worldwide media resources. Bequests aren't subject to federal tax or capital gains taxes. Ensure your children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren the opportunity to listen by including a bequest in your will or trust for Issues, Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
Job saw the city as a wasteland, as if devoid of God, witnessing injustice to the poor by the corrupt, lawlessness of criminals, trafficking of children, blatant immorality, thinking God could not see wicked deeds done in the dark of night. Yet God never abandoned Job, nor his city, groaning for mercy. God is working through the living Redeemer, hands etched with salvation, pointing to the resurrection to come. Join us at lcms.org/citymission to seek peace and shine the light in the city.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
You shall not commit adultery. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we lead a chaste and decent life in what we say and do, and husband and wife love and honor each other. Thus, Martin Luther explains the sixth commandment, you shall not commit adultery. This month's issue of the Lutheran Witness takes up these topics and discusses homosexuality, transgenderism, and our own struggle to live a chaste and decent life. Pick up your copy today of the Lutheran Witness at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
O morning star, how morning star, shine with our bright adorn.
Listen to the best of the Church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Have more opportunities for get-togethers around the table, coffee hours at churches. Focus more on the personal and less on, you know, letting tech oligarchs decide who we can speak to, what we can say, and on what terms our relationships will be conducted.
Every day you've been given, you've got 1,440 minutes. Will you invest just 1% of that day
in reading the Bible, and in prayer. So 14 minutes.
And the reason why we are so earnest to contend for the doctrine, for the truth of the Lord's Word, is not because we have some obsession with being right, but because Jesus delivers forgiveness of sins and eternal life in the true Word.
When the law is fulfilled, our ability to see the face of God is made manifest because we are cleansed from sin, now fit to be inhabited by the Holy Spirit of God, who reveals the face of God in Jesus Christ.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Those four soundbites in their entirety. Your opportunity to vote will come at 4:30 Central tomorrow, but you can vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, by sending us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or via Twitter @issuesetc. Issues Etc. soundbite of the week tomorrow at 4:30 Central.
And podcast listeners will find all four candidates in their podcast feed, so they can play too.
Sure they can.
I will say this, kind of insider trading here. You have a better chance of winning the Lutheran Public Radio bundle packages if you call in live.
Yeah, callers tend to stick in Jeff's mind a little better.
Especially when they leave a message on the Issues Etc. comment line instead of writing a lengthy email. So if you really, really, really want to win the LPR bundle package, and you really, really, really want to hear Pastor Wilkin respond to your comment or question, call the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382, or for the bundle package tomorrow on Friday, January the 15th, between 4:35 Central, 877-623-MY-IE. Lauren writes, I noticed that Terry Mattingly and Chris Roseborough both have excellent sound quality. If I did not know they were both recording from a distance, I would think they were in the studio. Would you please share with me what type of audio equipment you have them utilize? Lauren, thanks for the question and thanks for listening.
Well, we've been building up this network of basically mobile recording studios for several years here. What we do is we have guests on a regular basis. Those guests that are on a weekly basis or maybe even biweekly basis, we wish every guest could sound like that. And we wanted them to sound as good as possible. That's a big goal that we have here, is to have as good a clean a sound as we possibly can. It's easier to listen to. So over the last several years, we have been sending out a variety of different kinds of equipment, but I believe that Terry Mattingly has a Brick 2 from Comrex. It's a little box.
That's BRIC dash link.
Yeah. And it's from a company called Comrex. We use a lot of their equipment. And he is able then to attach that to a microphone and to a set of headphones through a little mixer board. I think we sent him also a little mixer board for that. And
Heil microphone, H-E-I-L.
And he is able, so he's using essentially the same equipment at his house as we're using here in the studio. And that Brick 2 link, what it is able to do is over the internet, send his audio and our audio back to him. It allows us to talk back and forth as though he were right here in the studio. The same goes for Chris Roseborough. I don't know what Chris is using because he has his own equipment for his own podcast.
Brian Wolfmiller, Peter Bender, Ted Geese. We have studios at Concordia University of Chicago, Concordia University Irvine, Concordia Publishing House, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. So we've got studios, LPR studios all over North America.
Yeah, and then we also have guests who have some kind of a little tier down from there of equipment that we were able to do conversations with them. I'm thinking about Jennifer Roback Morse has a recording studio. Her husband has one in their home, and we're able to do, it sounds a little more hollow, but we're always aiming at having the best sound qualities we possibly can.
Now, there's a second tier that use what's a Yeti microphone, Y-E-T-I. That would be like Pastor Hans Feeney. We bought him one, and we bought one from Dr. Beverly Yonke, if you heard that interview on Holiday Blues and Depression.
And it's, if you're just listening on earbuds, you probably don't notice the difference. We can hear the difference here in the studio. But that's a microphone that plugs with USB into your laptop and, again, uses your internet connection in order to make that two-way connection. And it sounds very nice. I never got it to work properly. During the first days of COVID, I had a Yeti at home, and I think I had a lemon of the Yeti because we never got it to sound good. We essentially had to move most of the studio equipment into my closet in order to get an equivalent sound.
Aaron writes, do you guys have a backup plan or some agreement with your hosting services to remain hosted on the less and less free internet? Great question.
Oh, we've been having a lot of conversations about that. And we used to have these conversations theoretically. Now we're having them in a really practical sense because we know that there are a lot of ways things could go wrong. Podcast hosting services could say, we don't want you anymore. And they're fully within the rights to do that. The company that hosts our website could say, we don't want you anymore. And they're within the rights to do that. The servers that we use to host both our website and all of our audio could say, we don't want you anymore. And so we're thinking about ways in the short term and the long term to plan for that. There are no backup plans yet, but we're hoping to talk to some knowledgeable people and try and figure out if there's a way to safeguard the presence of the website and the audio and all those things should the worst case scenario occur. It probably won't, but then again, think about what's happened in the last year and a half. A lot of bad things can happen.
I plan on attending it's invite-only conference called the Digital Catacombs Conference this summer sometime, where some of these things are going to be discussed. And you and I have talked about, we've got lots of IT people that listen to the show about maybe bringing them in sometime and doing some strategic planning for worst-case scenarios. Let's end on a positive note, shall we? Karen from St. Louis writes, Issues Etc. podcasts are keeping me half sane as I lay for days and days in my COVID recovery bed. Thank you and God's continued blessings on your work. Thank you for listening, Karen.
We are happy, happy, happy to keep you company, especially during your recovery. And of course, everybody who's suffering that way, I hope that we can give you something to think about, give you something to pray about. Nourish you with God's word as you recover physically. Friday on Issues Etc., we'll discuss speaking the truth in love to the LGBT community with Pastor Tom Eckstein. It's This Week in Pop Christianity with Chris Rosebro, and we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. Listen and vote. Facebook.com/IssuesETC.
Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel. More than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for you and the divine service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.
This is Jeff Schwarz, General Manager of Lutheran Public Radio, with a message for listeners in the Mountain and Pacific time zones. We pledge to have Issues Etc. podcasts posted daily, no later than 5 p.m. Mountain, 4 p.m. Pacific. This will allow you to download and listen to the latest Issues Etc. podcast weekdays during your evening commute. Again, if you live in the Mountain or Pacific time zone, download Issues Etc. before you leave work and listen during your drive home.